Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, boy. So this morning, folks, I'm just going to ask you to go on a little bit of a journey with me. I won't be speaking very long. I do intend to leave some time for congregational comments for anyone who would like to share. So how many times have you heard this story? A protagonist is suddenly whisked away from their ordinary life and embarks on a grand adventure. Along the way, they make new friends and they confront perils and danger and face tests of character. And in the end, evil is defeated and the hero returns home a changed person. That's the hero's journey. And it probably sounds very familiar, and it should. It is the story of our lives, and perhaps not as dramatically told, but for sure the pattern repeats throughout our lifespan. Each of us along the way moves from year to year, from relationship to relationship, from job to job, home to home, experience to experience, adventure to adventure, in much the same way. The details may be different, but the heart of the story remains the same throughout human existence. We strike out on our journeys of self-discovery. We learn from the challenges that confront us, and then we return, changed, and even redeemed. The template of the hero's journey is one that is used by writers everywhere to fashion their plots and to develop their characters that resonate with the human spirit. This model of storytelling was popularized by Joseph Campbell in his influential work, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, published in 1949. And in this work of comparative mythology, Campbell discusses the theory of the mythological structure of the journey of the archetypal hero, describing a character arc with 17 total stages overlaid on traditional three-act or three-stage structures. He articulates the three stages as departure, initiation, and return. Since that publication, Campbell's structure has been played out over and over again on stage and screen and in books and on television and in digital media. This morning, I invite each of us to recall our own hero and she-ro's journey. When have you triumphed over evil? How was that experience meaningful for you? And how were you changed by that journey? The hero's journey begins with a call to adventure. Something disrupts our ordinary life. We are confronted with a problem or a challenge that we just can't ignore. Anxiety and feelings of inadequacy make their way onto the stage. In most stories, our hero procrastinates, pretends he or she doesn't see the problem. What are you talking about? Maybe they look for a way out. Do I really have to do it? Seldom does the hero dive straight in, unless they are forced. And sometimes that is part of the journey. Sometimes procrastination is not an option. The choice is the choice. Ready or not, whether head on or kicking and screaming, we face the challenge and step into the unknown. Either way, once we cross that threshold, we have embarked on a significant leg of our hero's journey. We are in unfamiliar territory, replete with its own rules and rituals. We discover ourselves newly, struggling to define the boundaries of new relationships with folks who may or may not have our best interest at heart. Enter the guide, the mentor, the coach, the role model, whose job it is to help us navigate these unfamiliar waters. One of the most famous hero journeys in American film is The Wizard of Oz. In this story, our hero, Dorothy Gale, is whisked away to a far-off land by a tornado and embarks on a journey to find her way back home to Kansas, where she hopes her Aunt Emily and Uncle Henry will be waiting for her. This is one of my favorite stories, and you all know it, which makes it easier to tell it. Along the way, she meets several characters: a good witch, full of joy and grace; a bad witch, full of anger and misery; a scarecrow without a brain, but full of really good ideas; a cowardly lion, full of bluster and false bravado; a tin man, who, despite having no heart, is perhaps one of the most tender and loving of the group; and a wizard, who pretends to have it all together, but really doesn't have a clue. Each of these characters serves as mentors for Dorothy on her journey back home. Each a mentor for the psycho-spiritual aspect of a very human condition. I'm sorry, each a metaphor for a psycho-spiritual aspect of a very human condition. Who among us hasn't wished to be more joyful, more gracious, more confident and courageous, more loving, or just plain more okay with who we are? Now, for those who are wondering, I am aware that the original story written in 1849 is said to have been written as a socio-political allegory. And I encourage anyone who might be interested to look that up. But for our purposes today, I'm going to ask that you suspend that. For now, I'm wondering if we can just go a little bit deeper into our own journeys. Once you took the leap into the unknown, who was there to greet you? Was there a guide or a mentor that helped you navigate your way? Was there a witch that tried to pull you off your path? While you were journeying, who was there with you, and what did you learn from them? And more importantly, what did you learn about yourself? Welcome, Dorothy. Welcome, Sharon. The long version of the hero's journey has many more stages that I'm not going to go into this morning. And the title of those that I've mentioned have been adapted from Campbell's original text. We have The Inmost Cave, where we reckon with our failures. We change our way of thinking, and we come up with innovative strategies for overcoming adversity. We have The Ordeal, where we come face to face with our greatest fear and marshal all of our skills for a life and death battle with evil, which we are just able to escape with our lives intact, and which obviously we do, because here we are. But not without sacrifice, and not without the benefit of significant reward, and by which we are permanently changed. We are somehow wiser. We are more courageous. We are less frivolous. We are more trusting of our own instincts and more open to divine guidance after our hero and shiro's journey. And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good, and maybe even worth it. I don't know, maybe. Finally, the hero prepares to return home as from the dead, but not without one final challenge, as I said, the ordeal. At this stage in the hero's journey, the hero faces a final challenge where he or she is called on to prove that they have really learned their lesson in a final face-off between good and evil. For some of us, this can be a career or a relationship that we thought was dead, but we either rebuilt from the ashes, or a struggle to hold on to and mourned after its passing. For others, it is an illness, either our own or a loved one's, that changed everything for us, or the loss of something or someone so dear that we thought we would never recover, and yet we did. We survived, and we live to tell the story. The hero's journey ends when we return home resurrected and transformed, having triumphed over adversity. We share what we learned and we light the way forward. In that moment, we become the mentors, guiding the next generation of journeyers forth. Ultimately, we discover that we are enough, that we had the answers within us all the time, and that love really does conquer evil. We return home, awakened to our true nature, empowered by our purpose, and in love with the possibility of living a transformed life. Now, who among us doesn't want that? One of the hallmarks of the hero's journey is that it exemplifies what it means to live from the heart. There is really no other way to navigate uncertainty than to take our lessons from that central organ of the body. The heart is often used in scripture and metaphysics to denote life itself. To that way of thinking, the heart is the center of the soul. The heart is our symbolic but very real North Star. It is our guide to what is true, to what is real, and to what is important and good, and to what is right for us at any given time. Isn't it wonderful when we can feel that type of assurance? Who among us doesn't yearn to be guided by love? Especially the all-elusive self-love that is so important for transformation and growth. It's almost the Holy Grail. Daily, we each embark on our own hero and Shiro's journey of self-discovery that offers an opportunity to create new relationships, learn new skills, tap into our divine purpose that no matter the number of years or the depth of our experience is available to us until we pass on. The hero often learns that what they left to discover was with them all the time. As I close this morning, I urge us to continue to inquire into our respective hero and Shiro's journeys and to notice where it has brought us. Hopefully, it has brought us not only home here to each other, but also closer to being at home with ourselves. May all our journeys be fruitful, and may our hearts guide the way. So before our closing hymn and benediction, I would like to invite anyone who would like to offer some comments to do so at this time. Talk loud, Bob. Bob, come back because they can't hear you if you're over there. I don't know that they can hear you over here. So just, it's okay. Stand right there and talk loud, please. Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought he was, well, never mind then. I'm not really in charge. I'm the wizard. pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention.
I think the amphitheater.